tired, Colfax. A little tired this afternoon. If you're like me, a lot of you stayed up late playing video games. No, watching some of the election last night. We still don't know. How about that? It's 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, the day after the election, and we still don't know. So there you go. They're counting votes. They're fighting over things. And hey, I figured 2020. Why would things end on the election day? But fortunately for you, we don't have to talk about that stuff today. We got a lot to get into. And what's kind of cool, Colfax, we're not going to do it live today. I am going to catch up with UNC head football coach Ed McCaffrey. I'm very excited about that interview. We'll play that back for you tomorrow. They ended their what do you call this? It's not spring ball, spring practice. They ended their practice last week. They'll resume practice again in January. We've got breaking news on that, Colfax. Today it came out. We expected we'd get this schedule coming. But yeah, a little bit of breaking news. UNC related. We have the schedule, Colfax. We have the football schedule ready to go. At the Ed McCaffrey era, it officially has a date to it as far as starting. What was it last year, like in January, February, when we made the announcement that Ed McCaffrey was going to be the new head coach? It was almost a year ago, right? It's like January or something like that. So we're not going to get to see Ed McCaffrey coach his first football game until like a year and 2 months after he was hired. It's bizarro world. It's crazy, though. You know, we're talking about new coaches with new systems. Ed McCaffrey's not just in a new system. He's going from high school to college. So what is that like? You know, you're learning a bunch of new things at the different level, and yet COVID hits. So I got to think that, you know, when we're evaluating who it's more complicated for, whose task is a little more difficult, you got to think Ed McCaffrey is a pretty difficult task. Here's the schedule, though. We have it at 1310kfka.com. It's available. First game of the season, February 27th on a Saturday at Idaho. And then March 6th, Saturday, home, first home game. Still don't know about home fans or anything like that. Home against Southern Utah. Then March 13th, another Saturday, they'll be home against, or they'll be on the road at Montana State. Then they have a bye week. Then they're home against Idaho State. Saturday, April 3rd, they'll be at Weber State. And then the final game of the season, which will be April 10th. They'll be home against They'll be, well, it shows that they're home, but they're going to be playing in Flagstaff. So I'm trying to check this out. Because all the Big Sky games, bold. They'll be playing in Northern Arizona, I believe. So there you go. You'll have six games for the University of Northern Colorado. And yeah, I'm excited to see it. You know, we got a while yet to wait. For UNC Bears football action, but we'll get Coach McCaffrey's thoughts on that. We'll play it back for you tomorrow. We finally get to see this thing. Such a strange, strange time. The Ed McCaffrey debut. I mean, we're finally going to get there. We were so pumped about it. You know, last year, we get the announcement that Ed McCaffrey, the former Broncos, well, Broncos legend, not former, he is a Broncos legend, and he's beloved in the state of Colorado. I go to the announcement. I go to the press conference, Colfax. It was nuts at the UC Center. One of their auditoriums there holds like 300 people. They filled it. Never seen a UNC football event quite like it. And people they have signs, you know, like you see at football games. They got signs about Ed McCaffrey. People are buying in. But I don't know. What does that mean? Are we going to have fans in attendance? That's gonna be February. So a lot can happen from November to February. Vaccine, all that stuff with the COVID stuff. I don't know. So I would assume that we're gonna have fans. That, I mean, again, that's a big assumption. It's hard to do that. But it won't be 2020 anymore, Colfax. Maybe that's I'm gonna have to ask Ed that. Like, is that a good omen? You're happy about that? You know, starting well out of that. And, you know, a lot of teams, obviously, not the FCS, not the Big Sky, but a lot of teams, obviously, as you see, have opted to play football in the fall. maybe some coaches that didn't work out for him to play this fall kind of look at it as, you know what, at least we're out of 2020. So that's a good deal. So I'm excited to catch up with him. That'll be a good one. That'll be a great interview. Pumped about it. We'll talk to Mark Johnson later on. We'll talk Pac-12. The Buffs get rolling against UCLA over the weekend. So we'll finally get that game going. Finally get the Pac-12 rolling. CSU Wyoming play tomorrow night. I'll be at that game. That's going to be strange. I know the jokes. Well, it's not like the stadium was full anyway. There's literally going to be zero people in the stands. Zero. Like, I kind of want to just put my name in the hat and say, can I just go sit out here in an open stadium by myself? That'd be kind of cool. I'm the only guy there because I'm going to go sit in the press box, which Lord only knows what that process is going to be like. Do I have to test? Do you think I'm going to test for the COVID stuff there, Colfax? You think I'm going to have to stick the thing up my nose? Probably. Or do I just have to answer that? I do have to answer, full disclosure, I have to answer a questionnaire. Are you sick? Have you been sick? I mean, it's all like if I was sick, I wouldn't be going. I would have never gone. I'm not going to go. I don't want to get people sick and don't feel like going. I'll watch it at home. But pumped for that tomorrow night. The Border War. Wyoming's only a 3.5-point favorite. I'll give you my full picks on that. Keys to the game for CSU. Get ready for that, Colfax. We're going to do keys to the game on a Friday. We're going to do keys to the game on a Thursday because CSU plays half of their schedule on Thursday. So get ready for it. It's going to be fun. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The Broncos canceled today's practice again after another week where the Broncos have had to cancel a practice after the report yesterday about John Elway and Joe Ellis. This morning, the Broncos said in a statement, in consultation with the NFL, we are taking the precautionary step of conducting today's game preparations virtually and away from the facility. Broncos called their decision the safe and responsible thing to do and added that a member of the practice squad has been added to the COVID-19 reserve list. Players and coaches will hold their regular meetings virtually from their homes, but players who need medical treatment will be allowed at the facility. Of course, yesterday the big news was CEO and president of the Broncos, Joe Ellis, and general manager John Elway had tested positive for COVID. The Broncos didn't practice last week after right guard Graham Glasgow was placed on the COVID-19 side of things. So tough for the Broncos because they don't have the luxury of that bye week anymore. It's gone. And, we talked about this yesterday with more teams. Are they going to postpone a game? What does that look like as of right now? I believe Denver, Atlanta is still on. But this is where you start to hear those rumblings. Every single week it's the same thing, whether it's with the Broncos or any team. Midweek you start hearing about COVID cases. Then we start having the conversation, will they or won't they? It's an ongoing saga in the COVID-19 world. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Power to Play Sports poll question. This is one I've probably asked before, but because it's relevant again, we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about doing something unique. You know, the NBA does their bubble, and they have a couple of play-in games. And you saw what Major League Baseball did in adding more playoff teams. And we had baseball at the crack of dawn, it seemed like. It felt like, anyway. Should college football take this as the opportunity to expand the playoffs and experiment, see what it looks like? I have always been a big fan of saying, all right, we're going to go, everybody that wins your conference gets in. So the Power to Play Sports poll question, I'm curious, Hulligans, what you think of this. Should college football allow more playoff teams, one from every conference? I got three options for you today. More playoff teams, but not from every conference. So I'm all about, so maybe you're that person that's like, I'm all about more playoff teams. We can't just have four. We got to go to eight. Maybe we go to 16. But I don't really care that they're from the conference. I want to see big teams. I want to see big market teams. Or just no. Or yes. You don't know. I'm saying yes. 100%. That's my idea, Colfax. I'm sure no one else has ever had that idea. It's the greatest idea that's ever been an idea. And this is how you make conferences better. Stay with me on it. So, like, I know you look at the you're saying, oh, there's a lot of bad conferences though, and they're just going to get worked. What's the point of that? Like the Sun Belt Conference, even though Coastal Carolina playing pretty well right now. So, like, Louisiana Raging Cajuns, you know, those kind of teams. Teams you don't really talk about that much. But, you know, even the Mountain West teams, we talk about a lot on this program, but not a lot of people talk about these programs throughout the nation. Ball State on the football side of things. You look at the Conference USA, you know, Marshall. They're 16th in the country right now. So I'm looking at those teams. You go win your conference, and yeah, you're probably going to get worked the first 2 years. This is an experiment, folks. It's college football. There's so many teams, but you could capture this. I'm just think about it. You got a four-star running back can go to Alabama. Fresno State calls, you know, kind of a middle of the road, less than Power Five conference team. Fresno State calls and says, all right, Alabama tells him, you're four-star, buddy, probably going to redshirt you your first year. You're not going to play. Second year, you'll be in an open competition because we've got two studs because it's Alabama. I mean, we got eight running backs every year that could be probably NFL guys. So you may not start, but it's going to be a battle. We love you. You know, we think you're going to do great for us, but it's not going to be a gimme position for you. So we'll probably redshirt you that first year. Next year, you'll be in an open competition. In comes Fresno State, and they say, hey, you want to go to the NFL? You want a faster trip to the NFL? You're a four-star guy. All right, you're already on your way. Come to Fresno State. We're going to go win the conference. It's all we got to do is win our conference, and we get in a playoff game. We might get our kicked by Alabama because they're the first seed and we're the last seed. Whatever, just setting up a scenario. But who's going to be at those games, Colfax? Scouts. NFL scouts. Cameras. Coaches are going to be watching. Because if it's just a Fresno State, Boise State, or whatever, bowl game, or it's just a Fresno State bowl game that they made it to, and it's the, you know, the Poinsettia Tostitos Bowl or whatever, great. Some people are paying attention to it, but, oh, you're playing Alabama? Okay. Well, you're probably going to get kicked. But I'm watching all of these other, okay, whoa, suddenly this guy can punt. Oh, quarterback's not bad. Well, there's that running back. There's that four-star guy. So what I'm saying is over time, you might start seeing guys that look at it and say, I want to get my football career off to a quick start. Like, I'm ready to go now, and I want to be in the NFL in 3 years. And yeah, conventional wisdom is I'm going to Alabama first, but eventually I think that there's going to be more opportunities with these schools. It's not going to be pretty at first, but I've always been about this, and why not try it now? You know, you win your conference. So you got, what, 11? So there's 11 conference champs. I'm saying 5 at-large bids, and I already know the pushback. And this is the problem with college football. The pushback is already, the SEC's never going to go for that because the SEC is basically a miniature NFL. So you're telling me you're only going to do 5 at-large? So the winner of the SEC, so that's going to be Alabama, he's in. So 5 more at-larges, how many do we get? Do we get all 5? Because now we're in business. No, you're going to have to give some to the Big Ten. You're going to have to give some to the, maybe one to the Pac-12. Then the SEC is not going to go for that. That's a problem, though. The SEC runs the show. They do whatever they want. NCAA football says, we're not going to play. SEC says, yeah, we are. And then everybody else starts following them. And that's good and bad if you're a football fan. SEC led you and said, well, we're doing it. NCAA, you guys can go pound sand. We're playing football. But it's not just about the SEC, and I get tired of it. I get frustrated. It's college football. So here's the deal. It's time to, you know the old saying, you either crap or get off the pot, right? I hate the fact that Fresno State is an FBS Division I team. They are eligible to win a national championship. Not realistic, but eligible. If they're truly eligible, they got to come to the table at some point. I'm using Fresno State as an example because that's who we saw play CSU last week, and that's where my brain is. Try not to sound like a homer and go CSU and put them in the scenario. But you got to be able to come to the table. And ultimately, if you're not going to do that, then you just set up, all right, this is FBS A, FBS B, and away you go. Because I get tired of it, Colfax. I really do. And I mean, I don't want everybody to get, I don't like the bowl season. I think bowl season is crap. But if you took that and turned it into playoff games, I'm going to watch. Sure, Alabama's going to knock out a lot of teams. 55-7 that first year. Probably second year. Maybe third year. But as we expand and as we grow, teams get better. And remember, they're winning their conference. They're no slouch. They're winning their conference. So they're the best of their conference. You don't think Boise State, at their best, could put a dent in Ohio State? Make it interesting? All I'm saying is eventually this playoff scheme, and I love four games, it's better than nothing, but eventually we have to expand this thing. I know it's not realistic because then we'd have to eliminate regular season games because we're pushing out too many. Now there's too many playoff games. Fine, or eliminate three regular season games. You only need one non-conference game. The rest is conference. And then you have the best of the each. If it's a two-sided conference, then yeah, you have your conference championship, winner goes. Or you do it more like the NFL does. I'm okay with that. Brady, you're just creating a mini NFL. Why not? The NFL is king. They're the best. So if college football could adapt some of that while having a March Madness feel, I'm all in for that, man. I think you'll see recruits spread out too, because if it's a recruiting tool. So let's use Steve Adazio. He could use that as a recruiting weapon now. Hey, we got the quarterback this year. We got this great offensive line. We're going to win our conference. And we're going to be on national TV, primetime, and we're going to be playing in that first round of the playoff game. You better believe that, because we're going to win our conference next year, and I want you to be a part of that. Or you can go to Alabama and be a backup for 2 years, and Lord knows what happens. Maybe you hurt your leg in practice. Maybe you just never make it. We're going to give you that chance to showcase. How do you know that Trey McBride, you know, he's good enough to play on any team in college football, but how do you know that if he would have signed with a bigger school right off the bat, he would have got enough opportunities to really excel and grow his game? You don't know. Some guys need the opportunities, and some guys need it fast, like right when they get out of high school. They need to have those opportunities to grow and flex their muscles a bit. Flex their wings is what I about said. It's weird. 22 minutes after the hour, what do you guys think? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Got a couple of comments on that, so we'll get to that on the other side. Do want to tell you guys about Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. Got an idea for you. If you want a free cooler and you want to meet the best painting professionals in the industry, call Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Tell them you heard about them right here on 1310 KFK, and you get a free mini cooler. In this day and age of you never know what's going to happen with the election, you never know what's going to happen with COVID, you never know what's going to happen with fires, free stuff always helps. A free mini cooler from Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Mark Johnson will join us a little bit later on, the voice of the Buffs, as we'll get to talk about CU and UCLA. Finally, Pac-12 football. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Go! 26 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Tell you guys about On the Rocks Liquor. I think we all, at some point last night, needed a drink. Maybe we still do. Maybe for the rest of the week. I don't know when we're going to find out who won the election. It's taken forever. And I'm being told we might not know until Friday. So stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Our game beer of the week is from Breckenridge Brewing. It's Palisade Peach Wheat. But they also, I want to tell you, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, the bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey. The only place I know that has it up here is On the Rocks Liquor. So if you want that, On the Rocks Liquor is going to be the place to go to get that. Their store lobby is open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. They got the drive-thru open until midnight every single night. That's On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. Quarterback midseason grades, if you will. The NFL put this out. Now, I thought this was interesting. A couple of notes, but I want to get to this really interesting nugget. Best quarterback at midseason. Russell Wilson is the first candidate, and Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be a battle. Russell's going to get it if it's between the two, because I think the NFL's finally, you know, they've never given Russell Wilson any MVP votes, so I'm guessing he'll get it. Mahomes is going to have like eight of these things, before it's all done. But if they keep on this trajectory right now, it's going to be Russell. They have the best throw in there. They have Big Ben's throw, one of his best ones. Of course, Big Ben just battling back after injuries. He's 38 years old. He's not great anymore, but he's still pretty good, and he can come up with some big throws. He had a 28-yard throw to Chase Claypool in their Week 1 victory over the Giants. So we're saying that's the bet. That was a nice throw. Perfect. So here's the interesting thing about the quarterbacks, though, that I've noted. They have the award for the best timed quarter. Best timed quarter. You're asking, what does that mean? Well, a quarter to save your team, a quarter to save your career, basically. And that goes to Drew Lock. That fourth quarter, you asked it on Monday, Colfax. You said, hey, if this trajectory keeps going and Drew Lock is awful through the next portion of the half, are we talking about Drew Lock still? Or are we talking about Driscoll, Brett Rypien? Or what are we doing here? Throwing the season away? Maybe. You're at least talking about it. But because Drew Lock had that fourth quarter, unlike any quarter we've seen in his young career, he saved his career early. You know, it's not to say he couldn't have re-earned it at some point, but it would have made it very difficult at that stage. And I don't know, would he have started this weekend if he was so bad in that second half? But this is the thing. Now the Broncos know you have it. We saw it. Whether the Chargers were in some kind of prevent defense or not, Drew Lock was making the throws. 14 of 18, 155 yards, three touchdowns in that victory, in basically a quarter, is what he did. And again, ESPN's talking about it. That was a perplexing defensive approach. They didn't blitz at all in the second half. Lock got to sit back in the pocket. So I want to see how Drew Lock does. I mean, he's got to get better in the pocket. He can't just take off and roll to the right. That's what he's doing all the time. But he looked good. So now he bought him some time. And I know a lot of our hooligans are saying, no, you got to give him more than this season. You can wish that, you know, puppies and rainbows and kittens, but that's not where the Broncos are. The pressure is on John Elway. The pressure is on Vic Fangio. The pressure is on Drew Lock. So, I like that. I thought that was interesting. Best timed quarter, Drew Lock. Saved a season, saved a career, at least an early portion of it. 30 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk some Pac-12 football with our great friend Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, the Buffs, and taking on UCLA. So I'm excited to see what that holds for us. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Well, we don't have the results with the election yet, but we do know one thing's for sure. We're going to see the CU Buffs in action this week. Well, I don't know if that's for sure anymore, actually. Maybe not. Joining me now, the voice of the CU Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, hey, it's either way, we're here. We're going to preview it as if it's happening no matter what. I'm ready to go.
Well, I'll tell you this. While the rest of the world is counting votes, I'm just counting the minutes until kickoff. How do you like that?
Hey, why is it taking so long? It takes so long to count votes in a few states. It's crazy. Last night I'm watching. It's churning out left and right, state by state, and then suddenly stand still. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is rather interesting that leading into the election, we heard there were five key swing states, or six, actually, because we're going to throw Arizona in there. And all six the other 44 had no problems, but the six swing states had some issues counting your ballots. So that's always interesting to me. But then again, you know, I'm confused by most things in the world, as I've told you before.
I know, and we all sound like a conspiracy theorist if we say, well, that's fishy. I mean, those were the swing states that everybody's talking about. Why is it taking so long there? Yeah, that's weird. Mark, always love talking about other stuff, but really, really excited to see what this Buffs team can do. And I think we've talked about the expectations. I think most people just want to see the guys on the field.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, it's kind of funny as we've worked our way into game week and some of our different podcasts and TV stuff we've done. you know, fans are starting to, you know, get jacked up a little bit and ramped up. And so I'm getting messages from fans around the country. And that's exactly the point at this point. I had a guy write me yesterday. And he said, you know what, I don't care what happens. I just want to see my Buffs playing football. And so there's something about everything we've gone through as a society, and we all look for those comfort zones, right? I mean, we all look for things to have some sort of normalcy. And on Saturday, be sitting in a booth, and Buffs fans be watching and listening to the Colorado Buffaloes in the fall of the year. That'll be a comfort zone for some people, and I think it's therapeutic in some respects. But, yeah, what to expect? I don't know. I mean, it's Carl Durrell's first team. There's certainly some talent on this team. There's reasons to be very optimistic and excited. There are question marks we still don't know, and so I guess we're all going to find out together on Saturday, at least for about 3 hours in that first game.
Yeah, well, the quarterback talk, as it is with most teams, is always the talk, whether you know who your quarterback is or you don't. And the Buffs, unlike the Rams north of you, Mark, they're not announcing it. They're holding the cards pretty close to the chest there. But Sam Neuer earns that starting spot. I laugh because I always wonder how much of an advantage does that really give you, Mark? You would know better than I would.
Somebody the other day, oh, man, I don't know who it was, one of the national guys regarding a different program a week or two ago, actually asked that very question. And I was chuckling when you said that because I go back to the Dan Hawkins era where it was Cody Hawkins and, my mind is blanking on the name of the other guy, Tyler Hansen. And Dan Hawkins was going to hold that till the very end. And he and I sat down that week to do our pregame, which we normally did on Thursday or Friday before a Saturday game. And I always, you know, I always say to these coaches, listen, I'm the voice of the Buffs. I'm not going to go running out when you tell me something and jump on Brady Hull's radio show and announce it to the world. And the interview we're about to do is going to air 10 minutes before the game time. And so there are many times that coaches are very good about that, and they'll say, okay, yeah, okay, you promised. And I said, yeah, it won't air until 10 minutes beforehand. So, okay. So I said to Hawk, why don't we just talk about the quarterback situation? You can talk about it. It's not going to blow any cover because everyone's going to see whoever it is out there. And he looks at him and he says, MJ, the world is going to find out when you tell them who runs out there. I'm not telling you anything. And I said, Dan, you really think that's going to affect anything positively? And he was convinced of it. I've never been convinced of that. I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever, but coaches are superstitious, you know?
Well, and they are, and I think about it, too. You're going to watch a lot of film. Coaches, that's one thing we know they do. They love to have their team watch a lot of film. So, you know, you're going to watch film on this guy, and you're going to watch film on that guy. But ultimately, it's about stopping the other team, and that's where I've always just scratched my head. If anything, COVID has taught us you can pretty much play football whenever. We have college football teams. We got UNC's schedule in spring.
Right.
We got teams starting this weekend after some have been playing for 8 weeks. So, I mean, there's no, like, exact science to it. So I have to chuckle a bit.
Well, let's be honest about it. Unless Peyton Manning is the guy that you're holding back on and we don't know it's going to walk out there, listen, it's not going to make that big of a difference in large part. But, you know, like I said, I always chuckle. I've said this for years. I give Gary Barnett a hard time about this all the time. Nobody acts like their business is more cerebral and secretive and, you know, just impossible to understand than football coaches. I've been saying it for years, you know. I got in trouble with a coach years ago because I said to him on a show one time, I said, you know, it's not like we're curing science here, for goodness sakes. You're coaching some football, and I'm talking about it. Let's be honest about it. And he didn't like that effect. And I said, football coaches take their business very serious. And outside of those rare occasions, you know, a Bill Walsh comes to mind, Bill Belichick maybe in recent years, rarely is anything really terribly unique, right? They all pretty much run the same stuff, just different variations of it. So it's not like you're splitting the atom here, but boy, football coaches will, you know, they'll keep that kind of stuff hidden as if that, you know, they're the nuclear codes. And I've always kind of chuckled at that.
Yeah, I joked. What is the History Channel show? The secrets or whatever they have, secret societies. I said, CSU's in that. Who's the quarterback? We may never really know. We can all assume, but we're never going to know. Well, Carl Durrell had an opportunity to do that, but they didn't do that. They made their announcement known. Sam Neuer gets the nod.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I'll say this in before we actually, you know, specifically talk about Sam. The one thing I've always thought it was a terrible mistake, because in particular, if you've got a guy that's relatively inexperienced and you're holding back, all of a sudden the newness of that announcement has worn off, and on game day he walks out there and the world's going, holy cow, yeah. It's Bobby Smith is going to be the starting quarterback. Instead of getting rid of the shock a week before, let the attention kind of wear off for a few days, let him walk out there relaxed. So I've always thought it backfires on a lot of coaches. Now for Sam Noyer, that's exactly what Carl Durrell did. I mean, I think it was a very close competition. I was with those guys yesterday. By all accounts, he and Tyler Lytle had an outstanding competition. It was nip and tuck the whole way, and they opted to go with Sam. Sam's a gifted athlete. That has never been questioned about Sam Noyer. I mean, he runs it. He's one of those guys, Brady, when you watch him run, I had a coach say this decades ago to me, and I've always thought about this. He looks good running. I mean, he just, I don't look good running. I'm made of spare parts, for goodness sakes, and people make fun of me if I'm running down the field. When Sam runs, he looks really pretty when he's running. So he's a very good athlete. He's a very smart kid. He's a very dynamic kid. His teammates really kind of follow him, and so he's got that, that aspect of his set of skills, if you will, and I think the only thing with him, he's never got an opportunity because he was sitting behind Steven Montez all these years. So it'll be interesting to see, now that he's given the ball, what he's able to do with it.
Yeah, well, excited to see that for sure. Some rough news, though, as we get set for this big game. We were expecting big things from running back Alex Fontenay, and then, of course, we get the news that going to be out for maybe a while, not just this weekend.
Yeah, and that's too bad because, there's depth at that position. So from a position standpoint, it doesn't, damn them, if you will, in terms of, oh, my goodness, there's nobody behind him. You got Jared Mangum. I think Jarek Broussard's been a great story of this camp, the fact that, he's come off a couple of injuries, been able to take the number one position. You got Ashad Clayton, the outstanding, freshman running back. And so there's depth there. And so it doesn't hurt them in that regard. But it's one of those stories where you feel bad for the kid because he really, I thought, established himself as an upper-level type running back a year ago. And now not having a chance to build on that this season, albeit a shortened season, but still. And you hope the injury he's dealing with, it's not too serious, and he's able to work his way through it. But, anytime you start getting into leg issues, whatever it is specifically, that can always be a little bit dicey.
Yeah, it's tough, too, when you're a new head coach, the strange season. You're really looking to guys that are experienced and that are, kind of the stars of your program. This just means to me, Mark, more and more on the defensive side of the ball with so many returning starters, that's where I got to see the step up this weekend against UCLA.
Yeah, you'd really like to see that. With Dorian Thompson, the very agile quarterback they're going to face in UCLA, it's good that that unit in the first and second levels, that defensive front, Mustafa Johnson, Terrence Lang, Jalen Sammy, guys like that, they've got experience up there, add in some younger guys. And then the linebacking core, you get a lot of experience right there. And so in those first two levels of that defense, you feel real good about it. Now the back end, talented guys, but we don't know a lot about a lot of them. I mean, Mekhi Blackman's back. He'll start at one corner. I think Mark Perry could be a star in the making. Darian Rakestraw's had some nice snaps and some nice moments. You got a Christian Gonzalez, a freshman, starting at one cornerback there. So there's just a lot of unknown on the back end of that defense. But at least you should be stout up front, which gives you a good opportunity then.
On the UCLA side, Mark, when you look at that, obviously Chip Kelly, when you think Chip Kelly, you just think high-powered offense, we're going to produce a lot of yards, a lot of points in a short time doing it, but UCLA hasn't really been that way in the last couple of years in the Pac-12. They've been one of the bottoms as far as scoring in the Pac-12.
You know, it's amazing. When you don't have Marcus Mariota, how different your offense looks,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that stunning? And I think, that's been part of it because he certainly built that reputation. And that blur offense they ran at Oregon. And it hasn't been the same since he left the NFL and came back to the college level. Now, he hasn't forgotten football, for goodness sakes. I guarantee you that. He's still got a phenomenal football mind. Maybe the talent hasn't quite been the same. And so, we'll see where it all goes. But certainly this has not been what UCLA expected when they brought Chip Kelly on, considering what he had done in the Pac-12 previous. So I think it's a good opening game for the Colorado Buffaloes. They're at home. It's not like there's going to be a huge crowd to deal with if you're UCLA. It sounds like the weather is going to be very nice, but it's just going to be good to be out there and finally get a sense of what Carl Durrell and this era of CU football is going to look like.
Yeah, I think more and more, we can put pressure on this game, we can put pressure on any of these games, but I think really you just want to see them out there so you have tape, right? You have yep. Something to begin a base. If it's a win, great. I feel like for the Buffs, that would be like playing with house money at that point, but really you just want to get a base. You want to see what you're all about.
Yeah, and you know what? With this season, the way everything has gone, it's a delayed season. You've only got seven games. You know, it's. I heard somebody use the term throwaway season. I'm not going to use that because I don't think that's fair to the student athletes out there. This is going to be a college football season for them, but it's not a normal college football season. So go on out there, have some fun, let it all hang out. You got a new coach. You know, the expectations maybe aren't off the charts. So, you know, why not just go and have some fun, win some football games? Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, Mark. Looking forward to it. Hey, give us this. We haven't been able to ask you this, but give us some broadcast details.
How about that? Yeah, I almost forgot about that. 3 o'clock on Saturday, we'll kick off the broadcast. Gary Barnett, Andy Lindahl, and I, and then 5 o'clock, 5:05 is the exact kickoff time between the Buffs and the Bruins. And you know, it is going to be strange, though. With there's going to be a few parents there, I should say. I think Boulder County's given the number like 920, so you've got a few parents and relatives, that kind of thing. They're going to be spread all out. No marching band, no Ralphie, none of that kind of stuff, but just the Buffs playing out there. So it's going to only be half normal, but we'll take it, right?
Yeah, it's better than – yeah, but no Ralphie. That's a tough one,
I know,
sure.
That's
difficult. Mark, appreciate you, my man. And, hey, next 4 weeks we talk to you or so, we'll see if the election has been resolved. Who knows, man?
That wouldn't be better. I saw a meme today. Somebody had a picture of the count from Sesame Street, and it said, now this is getting serious, that a counting expert had been called in.
I love that. That's like when the NFL, you know, a guy gets a DUI, and they're like, oh, we're investigating. It's like, what's there to investigate? He got a DUI. That's it. You don't need to hire an outside source. That's what I was thinking about when they're bringing in a counter. It's like, okay, you didn't have that before?
Yeah, well, you think somebody would have thought about having that guy in the house beforehand, right? Yeah. Somebody to count the votes? Maybe not.
No, maybe not.
They fall through the cracks.
Yeah. I like that profession, though. Professional counter. I think I'd like to apply for that.
One ballot. Two ballots.
Mark, appreciate you, man. Have a great call this weekend. I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Brady. See you.
All right. That's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. No Ralphie. That's a bummer. Like, have you, Colfax, I don't know if you've seen it in person, but it is, I've seen it in person a few times, and even just as recent as last year, and it's my favorite tradition. Mark Knutson and I got in a fight about this last year, about the tradition and mascots. Give me a live buffalo. Like, what else what other school has a bigger live animal mascot that they put out on the field? Like, I love Air Force, you know, the falcon coming in there, that's sweet, I love that, but give me a live buffalo running around the field with four dudes desperately trying to hang on to the buffalo for dear life. I think that's the best. It's awesome. All right, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. We'll kind of recharge the poll question. CSU Wyoming, it's coming up tomorrow night. Quarterback, we don't know. That is top secret information. Steve Addazio is mum's the word. Nobody knows. It's Patrick O'Brien. I mean, I'll be very shocked if it's not Patrick O'Brien. But we don't know that, and we shouldn't even be pretending we know that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out The Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line, 31996. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 31996. Dixon says, hey, that's not cool, man, that Mahomes won't win things that he may deserve because everybody thinks he's going to win a lot of stuff down the road. If it's a wash, though, between those two quarterbacks, you're going to go Russell Wilson. Sorry. But if it's a wash, you're going Russell Wilson at this stage. I mean, you tell me. If it's so tight, you know, and you're trying to decide, that's just the way it's going to go. And I would vote for that. It's not really a knock on Patrick Mahomes or anything like that. But, okay, so look, when you look at their stats, you know, Patrick Mahomes has 2,300 yards and a lot of touchdowns already. 21 touchdowns to one pick. Quarterbacks don't throw interceptions like they used to. Great quarterbacks. Like, I remember when Peyton Manning, I got a point to make here, but I remember when Peyton Manning was having all those great seasons, he'd still throw for like 15 interceptions. Now it's like, these guys just don't throw interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has played 8 games, Colfax. On this pace, he'll only throw 2 picks. Isn't that nuts? I mean, Matt Ryan, for as bad as the Falcons are, he's only thrown 4. It's crazy. So Patrick Mahomes, 2,300 yards, 21 touchdowns, 1 pick. When you look at Russell Wilson's stats, he's a little bit different. 2,100 yards and 26 touchdowns. So he's got more touchdowns than Mahomes and 1 less game and 6 interceptions. The interception ratio is crazy compared to Mahomes, though. Based on the, like, if you're just going to go stats, I'll give you this, Dixon. Based on the stats, all right, Russell has a better completion percentage, 71.5. Patrick Mahomes is sitting at about 67. He's got more yards. Again, one more game, though. He's got less touchdowns, but less picks. And I'm telling you, that one, to me, is one of the most impressive stats. Throwing touchdowns, it's this day and age. Quarterbacks throw a lot of touchdowns now. But not throwing picks, that's big. Who would you give it to? Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson at this stage? Russell has most of the stats, but the touchdown to interception ratio is critical, and I love that. So I'll give you this, Dixon. Right now, I'd probably go Patrick Mahomes. Even though 5 touchdowns last week, too. 21 touchdowns to 1 interception, whereas Russell Wilson's 26 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Now, again, Russell, you can't really say it's, well, Russell doesn't have anybody now. DK Metcalf, in my opinion, is one of the rising stars in the NFL. This guy's a freak of nature. Mahomes does have a lot more weapons than most quarterbacks, but I'm not going to punish him for that. He passes the eye test when you watch him. So I'm going to give the nod slightly to Patrick Mahomes at this stage. 57 minutes after the hour, or 3 until the next one. We'll get to the second hour. Got a lot to get to, Colfax. We'll recharge my poll question. Make college football playoffs great again. I know that's a hot button for some. And more on the NFL playoff plan. Should college football just be like the NFL with their playoffs? Maybe so. We'll be right back. Windmill Tavern has been there during all the ups and downs 2020 has tossed our way, and they'll be there as we wrap up a pretty crazy year. Celebrate and raise a glass with friends, family, and coworkers at Windsor Mill by booking your holiday party now. They have a great private event room that seats 30 and an incredibly intimate wine room that seats 8. Maybe a break from the thing.